You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett.
And I'm Judith Sears Poisson. Coming up, a guest argues that the arts and culture that add beauty to our lives are also critical to science, technology, and the economy as a whole.
First, weather can have a big impact on daily life and on the economy. And that was certainly true this year, with dramatic and devastating storms and wildfires affecting the U.S. and its territories from north to south, east to west.
Jonathan Erdman is a senior meteorologist at weather.com, and he's based here in Wisconsin. We asked him to take a look back at the year in weather with us. Jonathan, welcome back to Central Time.
Well, it's a pleasure. Great to talk to you.
So for a layperson, this seemed like an unprecedented year of storms, was it?
Well, certainly the hurricane season lived up to that billing. Of course, we don't have the final damage tolls in, and unfortunately in some parts of the Caribbean, we don't even have final death tolls in. But yes, it certainly looks like one of the most destructive hurricane seasons in the Atlantic Basin that we've ever seen. And it featured three Category 4 U.S. landfalls, so I think by the time all the tabulations come in from the economists and the insurance industry, it will be one of the most destructive on record.
Weather.com writes that September was the busiest month of hurricane activity ever, and that 2017 was in the top 10 most active Atlantic hurricane seasons recorded. How much did we exceed usual norms or past records?
Well, it's interesting. If you looked at the entire season as a whole, and you looked at every month of the hurricane season, and you just went month by month, really, it was pretty much just September, and that was it. I mean, it was really a fairly benign average season, at least going through August. Of course, then we had Harvey in late August that made up for that. But when we added to September, it was just an onslaught, one after another. Of course, we had Irma, a long-track Category 5 hurricane. And then we had Maria right behind that. And, oh, by the way, probably the one hurricane most people will forget, Hurricane Nate, made landfall along the northern Gulf Coast in early October. So It was just a very compressed period where we just had this hyperactivity in the Atlantic Basin. And, unfortunately, a lot of those hurricanes hit land.
Did it make matters worse that this season came on the heels of what you referred to as a U.S. major hurricane drought of 12 years? Or did that just change our perceptions of it?
Well, it's a good question. It's partly a perception. Now, when you hear the word major, it's a little bit misleading when it comes to hurricanes. But by major hurricanes, we mean those that are Category 3 or stronger. And it has been since the middle of the last decade since we had a Category 3 U.S. landfall, which is officially meteorologists called major hurricanes. The problem is you don't need a Category 3 hurricane to be a, quote, major impact. So, for instance, Superstorm Sandy, which had officially not even made landfall as a hurricane, it was called a post-tropical system once it made landfall. I don't think anybody on the Jersey Shore wouldn't call that a major event for them. And in 2008, we had Hurricane Ike, which technically was not a major hurricane because it was, quote, only a Category 2 when it made landfall along the Texas coast in 2008. But that was highly destructive in the Houston-Galveston area. So, the major hurricane drought is kind of misleading in that it basically means we hadn't had a Category 3 or stronger landfall along the U.S. coastline in such a long time, over many, many years. And that is just statistically unusual. And unfortunately, we paid the price for it this year.
Jonathan, you mentioned that we don't even have final death tolls for these horrific hurricanes and their impact, let alone the economic totals. But what you know as a meteorologist and having seen major storms before, given the pictures, the images we've seen from Puerto Rico, the Virgin Islands, and Barbuda, what caused that incredible amount of devastation? Was it in part the infrastructure that was there, or were these storms just so outside of what we're used to building to sustain against?
Well, it's really a combination of all those factors. You can go through the historical record, and you can find some intense hurricanes that just through the steering flow in the atmosphere never made a landfall and stayed safely out over the open Atlantic Ocean. And thank goodness that they didn't. But unfortunately, this year we had a combination of intense hurricanes, Category 5 hurricanes, that unfortunately took a track that took them right through the northern Leeward Islands in the Caribbean and then right through the Virgin Islands and Puerto Rico, among other locations, including say, parts of Cuba, with, as we saw with Hurricane Irma. So it's really a combination. We had these intense hurricanes, and unfortunately, the steering patterns in the atmosphere at the time these intense hurricanes were there steered them toward land instead of steering them out to sea. Mm-hmm. And as a result, we have the devastation that we saw.
Let's move on to what seems in some ways like the opposite type of weather disaster, fires. How did 2017 stack up on that count?
Well, you know, of course, all the attention goes right to California. And really, it was a combination of factors in California that triggered such a devastating fire season there. Number one, oddly enough, you know, they had a very, very wet season last winter. In fact, they had a record wet season for the state, which sounds ridiculous, right? If you have a record wet season, mm-hmm. how can they be having all these wildfires?
Especially because they'd had drought for so many years.
Yeah, that's right. It really punctured a hole in that, you know, at least in the in some drought indicators. But what happened is you triggered all this undergrowth that grew in response to all that precipitation. And unfortunately, California has a distinct dry season from, say, May through, say, the first half of October. It typically doesn't rain there. So all that vegetation dries out. When you have all that fresh vegetation that just grew from the previous winter's rains, all of a sudden you have all that fuel that can burn. And then you throw on top of California the fact that in the fall and here so far through the first half of December, they haven't had much precipitation at all, especially in Southern California. So now it's extremely dry. You have all that extra growth, and then you throw Santa Ana winds, which typically happen in the fall and early winter, even into the spring months sometimes, and you just had a recipe for a disaster.
I wanted to ask you about that, Jonathan, because we do hear a lot on the news about wind conditions and how they either help or hinder efforts to contain the blazes. And as you said, we hear about the Santa Ana winds. What are those winds? Why do they have their own name?
Well, the Santa Ana winds, and there's also a similar wind in Northern California and parts of the Bay Area called the Diablo winds. And they're basically winds that blow from the land to the sea. So they blow offshore. And because they blow offshore, they're dry winds. And frequently, those winds are also hot winds. So, you know, if you picture a wildfire that is either already burning or that starts suddenly, as we saw in parts of the Napa Valley of California in October, you have a fire that's already burning, and then you throw those, you know, 60 plus mile per hour wind gusts on it, those offshore Santa Ana or Diablo winds, and it just can whip this small fire into a fast spreading firestorm that leaves people in its path with very little time to evacuate. You know, a truly frightening sight, considering, especially in Northern California, some of those wildfires in the Napa Valley occurred during the overnight hours, and people were sleeping and probably were completely unaware of that happening. So it's a very dangerous recipe, and unfortunately this year all the ingredients were there.
Jonathan Erdman is a senior meteorologist at weather.com, and he's based here in Wisconsin. He's with us to take a look back at the year in weather.
And we'll pick up the conversation in just a minute. Stay with us here on Central Time.